The views and opinions expressed on the Rendezvous Radio program are intended to provide an inside look at the soldiers and missions of the 101st Airborne Division. Fort Campbell and the U.S. Army do not endorse this station or its advertisers. Endorsement should not be implied as a result of this program or its content.
WVRY 105.1 FM, Clarksville, Waverly. WJZM 1400 AM, Clarksville, Tennessee.
Welcome aboard. Good afternoon, Fort Campbell. Good afternoon, Clarksville. Good afternoon, Oak Grove, surrounding communities, Woodlawn, Hopkinsville, and not for nothing, all the 30 counties that are picked up by WJZM, 1400 AM, and 105.1 WVRY. This, my friends, is Rendezvous Radio. Absolutely. You know, and Rendezvous Radio is a is pretty remarkable and pretty groundbreaking, where we are able to bring the soldiers of the 101st Airborne Division, Air Assault, that's in parentheses, okay, and the soldiers of the units of Fort Campbell Garrison, all right, and we bring them live on the air to tell their stories to you, the listening audience. And not for nothing, it just has never been done on a scale this large, and we are proud to relay that message. I got to tell you, you know, telling the stories of the soldiers, the veteran, the retiree, the Army family, the Army community, the civilian service member, it is an honor and the duty of us here at WJZM and WVRY. And I love it. It's sitting in is the operations manager representing WJZM. How you doing, John Michaels?
I am here. How are you today?
Always a pleasure.
It's great day.
Now, originally this started as an airstrike back in April, but has grown to a populace where we turned it into Rendezvous Radio.
It's great.
I mean, tell you, you know, the 101st
all of Fort Campbell,
101st Airborne Division, really taking the initiative and leading the way, you know, Army wide on community outreach.
That's great.
Right here. You know, starting right here. Forget about it. I'm Joe Padula, former Sergeant Joe Padula of the 101st Airborne Division Air Assault. And, it is, I was a combat correspondent for the Screaming Eagles. And, now I'm a military correspondent and a civilian correspondent for continuing that relay. And if you want to call, and that reminds me, we hear the phone ringing, okay? You want to call and you want to share your story, okay? That's 931-645-6414. That's 931-645-6414. Please bear with the dialect. I'm a New York-minded guy with a military mouth. You know what I mean? So, and today we got a great episode, okay? Today we have the highlighted unit is the Mighty Strike Brigade 2BCT, Brigade Combat Team of the 101st Airborne Division Air Assault. And let me tell you something about Strike. Strike is a historic brigade that that has been on the front lines of the battle since World War II all the way up until now. And we got some great representatives coming in. And, yes, we got a caller. Hey, caller, what's your name? Where are you calling from?
How you doing? How you doing, Tom Padula?
Hey, how you doing? All right?
I'm doing great. It's fantastic. It's a great day.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, I appreciate you guys calling and listening in. And let me tell you, why don't you... What do you think of the show so far? You tuned in last week, I'm sure, right? Because not for nothing, number one in the podcast world, Rendezvous Radio.
Absolutely, and I got to see you on the front lines with Strike Zone Afghanistan. And
oh, wow.
Always, always great information.
Let me tell you, I appreciate that. And serving with my brothers and sisters in arms is an honor. Okay, and to be able to continue that right here, you know, as a Mr. Joe Padula or a private citizen Joe Padula, like, that really means a lot to me. And not for nothing, it means a lot to me knowing that you're out there listening and that you want to receive the great stories of the Screaming Eagle soldiers.
Absolutely, and I want to congratulate you on your transition from Army life into civilian life.
Well, I appreciate it. What unit are you with?
I'm with the 490th Chemical Battalion in Anniston, Alabama.
Nice, nice.
I am Sergeant Vicenzi Scott from Green Bay, Wisconsin. Go Packers, absolutely.
Oh, what a great adverb. Now, Sergeant, you say Alabama. Now, Alabama is probably, I think that's my eighth favorite state. What's your college team?
the here, they basically tell you when you get here, you got to pick Alabama or Auburn.
So all right, what'd you
choose? I went for the underdog, Auburn.
Oh, so you're a War Eagle guy.
I suppose, but
I love
Michigan
it.
And Wisconsin, and the Packers.
It.
The Packers, of course.
Oh, man, let me tell you, you're making a lot of people angry today, and maybe a few happy, all right?
The ones I make happy, I'm here for them.
That's what I'm talking about, but let me tell you, I thank you for your service, I thank you for your call-in, and I appreciate your guys' listening all the way down in Alabama. That's what I'm talking about.
All the way in Alabama, and the things I learned being deployed with Strike have helped me become a good NCO and lead here in 490th Chemical Battalion HHD.
Nice. That's what I'm talking about. And we appreciate you you showing us the you know, that today's warriors are also human too, and you expressed that today with sharing your emotion. So thank you. But before we go, Sergeant, favorite most memorable moment with Strike.
Most memorable moment with Strike.
Right.
For me, probably coming in as I was a TPU soldier.
TPU. What does that stand for? Acronymize.
DEF stands for, basically it means you're a reservist.
I can't
remember the actual.
So you were a reservist, and then you were deployed and attached to and assigned to Strike.
Correct. I was individually deployed. I was a specialist at the time. So I went up to Bagram, and they said, we don't need you, so we're going to send you down south. So next thing I knew, I was on a plane, a helicopter, jumped off a helicopter, walked into the mayor's cell with a first sergeant, staff sergeant, captain, and my first line leader, all men, very loud, asking me, who the are you, where did you come from, what's going on with you?
Right.
So very, very nervous, and it took a while to earn some respect, but
understood.
Definitely a memorable moment.
That's what I'm talking about. Hey, Sergeant, thanks for calling and thanks for listening, and yeah, proud member of former Strike right there. Hey, take care, all right, brother?
Absolutely. I wear the Screaming Eagle proud.
Nice. All right, take care, Sergeant.
You too. Take care, Joe.
Absolutely. Man, that's what I'm talking about. The fans calling in. And, you know, we're about to go to a break here, but right when we get back, we're going to get right into our Strike leaders, okay, and our Strike representatives, who let me tell you, we got some high-ranking individuals here today. Yeah, absolutely. I'm actually standing at the position of attention, as I say, Lieutenant Colonel Rob Cannell, all right, who is the commander of Strike's 2nd Brigade Special Troops Battalion. And not for nothing, he's got quite the extensive background with the special operations, okay? And now he's with the conventional side of the Army, and what better place to be than the 101st Airborne Division Air Assault? Yeah, forget about it. And then also hanging out will be Captain Pat McWegan, okay, who is he's been involved with Strike on and off the battlefield, and he's going to share some of his stories here today. And same thing with that is his First Sergeant Johnny Carter, who I think would disagree with our caller on War Eagle, and he would say Roll Tide. Right, absolutely. Yeah, just by looking at his car with the 18 magnets that are all over it. Right, absolutely. And also sitting in studio will be Captain Dave the Gun Dunn. Yeah, familiar voice. He is the Strike Public Affairs Representative.
How you doing?
Oh, yeah, sir. How you doing? All right?
Wonderful.
We got a great show here today.
We do.
Yeah, and then in the second hour, okay, we got the garrison side of the show, and that is going to be the Strike Boss. The better opportunity for single soldiers today. And we're going to be talking and learning about what it means to be a single soldier here in the 101st Airborne Division, Fort Campbell, and all the supporting units. So don't go nowhere. We're going to go to a break. But when we get back, yeah, strap in, because it's going to be pretty remarkable. It's Rendezvous Radio right here on 105.1 WVRY and WJZM 1400 AM. Absolutely.
I'm Specialist Dustin Register with 1st Brigade Combat Team by Stone, and you're listening to Rendezvous Radio.
I'm Sergeant Charles Porter with 1st Brigade Combat Team Bastogne, 101st Airborne Division, and you're listening to Rendezvous Radio.
I'm Sergeant First Class Crystal Drummonds with 1st BCT Bastogne, and you're listening to Rendezvous Radio.
Yeah, welcome back. I love that. That's my favorite royalty-free music, okay? If there was any better royalty-free music, we'd probably get a hold of it, but that's about it. Captain Dunn, how you doing again?
Good, how are you?
Welcome back to Rendezvous Radio, all right, where it's our honor and our privilege and not for nothing, our duty to relay the Screaming Eagle story to you, the listening audience. And yeah, we're doing it right here today, and sitting in, what do you want to call this, the panel? Should this be the strike panel?
I think it's a panel.
Absolutely. That voice right there, that's Lieutenant Colonel Rob Cannell. Now, sir, it's great to have you here.
Well, thank you. It's great to be here.
You know, you are a man that, a very charismatic man. Okay, you have a gift of relaying the message, and we are proud that you are here to help relay the strike story. Absolutely. And also sitting on mic is First Sergeant Johnny Carter.
Good morning.
What's up, Top?
Not much.
How you doing, all right?
I'm doing good.
Now, I've served firsthand with First Sergeant Carter, and I've been put at parade rest many of times under his, you know, in his office. Absolutely. It's great to have you in here.
Great to be here.
Absolutely, absolutely. And of course, it's Captain Pat McWiegand, sir, a fine commander that has been on the ground of Argandab in southern Afghanistan, as well as part of the artillery battalion in strike. And now currently you are the headquarters company commander of the Mighty Strike Brigade.
That is right, Joe. Thanks for having me today.
Oh, it's great to have you guys here. Like, you know, it's a horseshoe of strike. Okay, it's a horseshoe of strike going on right here, and we are about to relay that message to you now. Now, sir, as for your background, okay, the rank of a lieutenant colonel. That's it takes some time to get up there. Could you tell us about your Army career?
Yeah, Joe, first of all, I want to say to both you and John, thank you very much for having me here on The Rendezvous. It's an absolute honor to be able to reach out and talk to the local communities and represent the Strike Brigade, which in my mind is one of the greatest units that I've ever been in. With that said, in
Absolutely,
terms of
sir.
My background, I started off as an armor officer back in 1993. I wanted to do something different, so I went off on the Special Forces track and served the majority of my time with the 7th Special Forces Group in Fort Bragg, North Carolina. Just recently, I was selected to command a battalion, and it's been an honor to command a battalion in strike. And I'm currently the commander of the 2101 BSTB, where I, again, have that honor to command about 700 troops. And it has just been phenomenal. And I couldn't ask for a better job, regardless of where I came from, because these guys are the brightest, they're the best, and they're absolutely committed to the mission. And you're sitting right next to two of them, both with First Sergeant Carter and Captain McWiegand.
Absolutely.
Can't ask for better folks to represent Strike Brigade.
That's right. And with that, I mean, the battalion, that 700 include not just, it's not just one MOS, not just one military occupational specialty. I mean, you have an array of jobs in the military. You got medics underneath your command. You have combat engineers. You have commo guys and gals. I mean, the list is just, I mean, forget about it. Does that propose any challenges to you?
No, it doesn't really, and what we refer to them lovingly is the garanimals, because it is a mixed bag. They're a multifunction unit, and like you just identified, they're all the military capabilities which go into the brigade in order to kind of enable the brigade to do its mission downrange. And I would say in terms of a challenge, it's not that much of a challenge because of the leaders that I have below me, and that's the company commanders, that's the first sergeants down there, that's the first line supervisors, and then the soldiers themselves. They're incredibly bright. I came in the Army in actually 1991. I was an enlisted infantryman, and I'm going to tell you, these guys, hands down, are much smarter than I was. And in terms of the officers, when I came in 93 as a second lieutenant, they are by far above me in terms of their intelligence, the way that they think. They're just better. So I couldn't ask for, you know, a better group, and that's it. It's a challenge in some cases, but quite honestly, they make me smarter on a daily basis.
Absolutely. Captain McWiegand, how you doing? All right. Now, when you came in, all right, was strike your first permanent duty station?
It was not. It was my second. I got here in May of 2009, coming out of the infantry career course down at Fort Benning. Linked in with Top Guns and served as a battalion S1 for about 12 months.
Right.
Then deployed as a battalion FSO for Top Guns back in the surge.
FSO stands for?
Fire Support Officer.
Right.
And then from there came back, served as an assistant operations officer for Top Guns, and then got the honor to command for about 15 months in Bravo Battery, and then moved on and was selected and got to command again in the best brigade, greatest division in the world, Strike. For where I'm at right now in Strike 2 BCT Headquarters Company.
Absolutely. Now, and not for nothing, please don't take this as any disrespect, sir, but you talk funny. Okay? All right. Why do you talk funny?
Well, I'm originally from Scranton, Pennsylvania, and then I had the awesome opportunity to go to school about an earshot away from my first love, Fenway Park. And and
Fenway
I picked
Park.
Up this crazy accent that they talk like up there, and they kind of have a hybrid now going on. So, hence why I'm very noticeable by the way I talk.
Absolutely. we have a practice for that. If you want, you ready? Bada bing. if you could repeat with me, sir. Bada bing.
Bada bing.
Oh, that's pretty good. John, we got to seclude that. That was pretty good. And thank you, sir. Appreciate that.
No problem.
Absolutely. First Sergeant Carter.
Yes, sir.
Now you are as we brought up. You have also been on and off the battlefield with Strike. Okay, and you've been in at Fort Campbell for quite some time.
Yes, I have, Joe.
When did you first get to Fort Campbell?
I got to Fort Campbell July 2001.
Wow.
Yeah, Roger.
Wow, like that is amazing, and I'm sure you've seen a lot of things happen.
Absolutely, I have.
Let's see. 2001 was this post 9/11 or
just? It was about a month prior to that. I was assigned to 326 Engineer Battalion.
What was it like on 9/11 at Fort Campbell? If you don't mind.
9/11 on Fort Campbell that day was a hectic, a very hectic day. A lot of confusion, a lot of misinformation. It was a tough day.
Right. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. But then, after the all the orders comes out eventually and you guys are sent off to 101st. We're one of the first units to go into Afghanistan and go into Iraq in 2003. And you were part of those initial invasions?
Oh, Roger, I was part of the initial invasion. We were 326 Engineer Battalion. I had the only record, because my background being maintenance, I had the only record in the battalion. So we did a lot of forward support to everybody that needed it.
There it is. And there you go. Now we have established the credentials of the panel. As you can all see, they are all qualified men to speak of the mighty 502nd Infantry Regiment, the Strike Brigade. Now, with that, the history of the Strike Brigade. Okay? All right. Captain Dunn, public affairs. Combat All right. correspondents, you and your team, it is your job, okay, and it is your job title to tell the soldier's story.
Roger.
Okay. Now, with that, I mean, you got a lot of stories to tell.
World War II.
Right?
Right, right. Yeah, the 502nd Parachute Infantry Regiment originated in July of 1941 as the 502nd Parachute Battalion, actually. It was an experimental unit.
The PIR.
The PIR, yeah.
Imagine being that. Imagine being experimental. All right, here's your parachute. We're going to experiment today. That's pretty remarkable. That takes a lot of guts, you know what I mean? And they signed up for this. I mean, and please chime in whenever you feel free. You know, like these are people that go, yes, I want to do that, okay? And that's just goes to show you what the mentality of these types of soldiers are. These are go-getters, okay? These are, I'm above and beyond, and I love it. Right from the start.
Sure. And then in March of 1942, the unit was redesignated as the 502nd Parachute Infantry Regiment, actually.
Yeah, the PIR.
Roger. And then the 1st Battalion, 502nd PIR, was activated on 1st of July 1941 at Fort Benning, Georgia, and joined the 101st Airborne Division.
That's amazing.
Oh.
I love it.
Roger, and the regiment also participated in the three major battles, being the Battle of Normandy.
Right, Normandy.
Everybody knows that one, of course.
Normandy.
Yep.
I mean, like, imagine that, okay? Here you are, okay? You know, you just got done with all your training, all your jumping, and you're in England for quite some time, and now you're part of the mission, and there's a famous picture of General Dwight D. Eisenhower, okay?
Oh, yes.
And he's addressing the 502nd Parachute Infantry Troops, okay? And just imagine being that young private, okay? With the heart on the side of your helmet painted on so you know what unit you are when you jump down, okay, and just imagine having a four-star general at the time come up and say, hey, let me tell you, what you were about to do is change the world. I mean, man, that is remarkable. That is what Strike is based off of. What a way to set up for success for years to come.
Yeah, I actually found out that he, in that moment, he gave a speech, of course, like every good, you know, good general does, and
right.
Then he actually then sat and talked about fly fishing for a while with these soldiers, you know, because he was always one of the things he used to do before going into combat when he was younger, during stressful situations, to sit and talk about something outside of what is actually going on.
Right.
You know, you bring up a key point in terms of our lineage back to the Parachute Infantry Regiment. First guys jumping out of an airplane in combat, and you look little bit further into the future, and where the guys operationalizing air assault tactics, getting in helicopters and conducting operations. And then more recently, the tie-in is the SFAB, the Security Force Assistance Brigade.
Right.
Strike goes out and does that. It's kind of like in our DNA to kind of break trail, kind of move forward, figure these things out, and get it done. And I'm going to tell you, you know, I'm going to keep coming back to it. Why I love this brigade so much is because we're always at the forefront of these things.
Yes.
And we're moving out to, it's kind of tailor-made with what we're going to do in our future operation or future rendezvous with Destiny. But quite frankly, it's in the DNA of all of our soldiers in order to kind of push forward, break trail, and kind of be innovative and be agile in what they're doing. So, I mean, can't again, just to kind of highlight off the history part.
Absolutely. And with that, hey, if you're out there listening, if you're a strike veteran, okay, it doesn't matter what era, you know, World War II, Vietnam, you know, even during the peace years, which I got to tell you, weren't so peaceful all the time, okay? You know, call in. You know, that's 931-645-6414, 931-645-6414. And I got to tell you, we got to go to break here. But when we get back, we're going to continue the lineage talk, and then we're going to be talking about some upcoming events because Strike is getting ready to be once again a leader on the battlefield. And with that, we're going to go over some of the training that goes into it, and some of the upcoming events that plays a big role, and what prepares a unit for battle. And who better to tell that than battle tested heroes that sit right in front of me? And good for you that you get a front row listening view. So don't go nowhere. It's Rendezvous Radio on 105.1 WVRY and 1400 AM WJZM. Absolutely.
WVRY 105.1 FM, Clarksville, Waverly. WJZM 1400 AM, Clarksville, Tennessee.
I'm Specialist Tyler Simpson, Headquarters and Headquarters Company, 2nd Brigade Strike, and you're listening to Rendezvous Radio.
I'm Sergeant First Class Antoli from the 2nd Brigade Combat Team Strike. You are listening to Rendezvous Radio.
I'm Private First Class Gabriel Perkins from HHC, 2nd Brigade Strike, and you are listening to Rendezvous Radio.
My specialist Kyle Owens from HHC 2nd Brigade Strike, and you're listening to Rendezvous Radio.
None so fair that he can't compare with the airborne infantry.
Welcome back to Rendezvous Radio. That's a great cadence right there. John, which one is that? Is that the Oak and Cole, right? Yeah. For Sergeant Carter, cadence wise, what's your favorite one to call?
My favorite cadence, I'd have to say, is...
Remember, we are on radio. For Roger Sergeant.
When my granny was 91.
Oh, when my granny was 91, she did PT just for fun. I'm not a singer.
And then you can add to it.
Right.
You know, I add to those things to help out.
Absolutely.
Get the crowd going wild.
Motivation.
Right.
Okay, it's part of the definition of leadership. Okay.
Absolutely.
And how important is it to provide not just motivation for Sergeant, but to provide a information and reason for the mission?
It is crucial. I mean, you got to gain and earn the trust of your soldiers, and a part of that is being able to motivate them, being able to ensure that they are fed every bit of information that you know, because when they know everything that's going on, there's no surprises, there's no, hey, use it. It's they know they're tracking and they're on roll, and there's absolutely no surprises. So it is crucial to ensure that the soldiers know everything that you know, and to be able to reach in and motivate them to get them to understand why we're doing what we do.
Right. Now, and just to quickly sum that part up, I mean, today's soldiers, okay, the utes, okay, today, the youthful soldiers of today, all right, I mean, it's a very, I have my smartphone in my hand all the time world.
Oh, okay. Roger that.
And back in the day, and I don't mean to disrespect or make you sound old, okay? but back in the day, you didn't have your my smartphone is in my hand type of soldier.
I didn't have that or a computer at that.
Right. And now handling such different personalities from back then to today, I mean, a big difference?
It's a huge difference. You as the commander would tell you, as society changes,
right.
So do we. We advance, and how we learn to adapt to take care of the modern-day soldier.
And there's the key word, adaptation. Yeah, absolutely.
That's a quote from Captain McGuigan, by the way.
Captain McGuigan. Bam. Welcome back to Rendezvous Radio, where we tell you the soldier story, okay? From the soldiers themselves. And not for nothing, it is an honor to relay that message. Now, when we left off, okay, we were talking about strike history. Because right now, today, in the first hour of Rendezvous Radio, we are highlighting the Mighty Strike Brigade, the 502nd Parachute Infantry Regiment, who turned into the 502nd Infantry Regiment. Now, with that, okay, World War II, Normandy, and Bastogne is where Strike earned the Presidential Unit Citation Award. And not for nothing, okay, if you don't know what the PUC is, all right, the Presidential Unit Citation Award, that is the, I want to call it the, you know, the highest level award that a unit can earn, okay? And for someone to earn it twice, okay, in a war alone was that's remarkable, and they did it for Normandy Bastogne, as we all know. Normandy Bastogne is famous battles, and the 502nd did not give up and fought on, and made sure that victory was ensured. Very impressive. Now, with that, we go to Vietnam.
Right, in Vietnam, they actually earned it twice again. They had Presidential Union Citation for participation in, pardon me if this is wrong, Anke and Dak Tau. Dak Tau?
Yeah, right. Right, yeah. Dak Tau, right.
Yep. Yeah, they earned it twice again for the second participation in battle in how many years? 20-some years?
So, right off the bat, okay, you have the 502nd Infantry Regiment, okay, now has four Presidential Unit Citation Awards. Four. Okay, which is the equivalent of a Distinguished Service Cross, is that correct? All right, I'm pretty sure that's on that level, okay? But now, meeting, I've been very fortunate, and I'm sure the strike panel here today has also have been shaking the hands of World War II and Vietnam strike veterans. Captain Pat McQuigan, you personally, as a company commander, okay, and a man who has met many of these veterans, what does that mean to you to actually get to hear their story, shake their hands, look them in the eye? You know what I mean?
One of the looking back, participating 2 weeks of the Eagles, besides strike winning the cup and having it raised in the division parade field in front of all the other divisions and being the best, of course, again.
Oh, I love it.
Poor Campbell about winning everything.
The strike swag is coming out.
Strike.
The best is getting able to just being able to sit down and talk with the World War II and Vietnam vets that we're able to bring in the forums, either at the DW Rec or on a parade field.
Right.
And ask questions about what it was like back then and then compare stories, because just being able to honor these individuals for the sacrifices that they made and is extremely humbling at times. At the same time, a lot of the vets, want to hear about the stories and
yes.
the sacrifices that families and soldiers make
right.
today, and being able to share and compare and relate to each other and somewhat of a level over 40, 50 years in the same unit, wearing the same old Abe on their pack
yeah.
as they're fighting.
Absolutely.
Is incredible. So.
I got to tell you, and watching you actually interact with them, you're very passionate, and for that, I appreciate that, especially with, our World War II veterans are, the numbers are dwindling, okay? And please, remember, okay, you see your veterans out there, and you can't miss them, because they're definitely wearing a hat with many pins on it, okay? Make sure that you talk to them and go up to them and say, ask them a question. They want to inform you, okay? And they've made great sacrifices for us, and they should be treated as so. So, with that, Vietnam, okay, two Presidential Unit Citations, okay, one of the most battle-tested units in Vietnam, but and then after the transition of Vietnam, it becomes what was then Air Mobile.
Right.
Air Mobile, which is now we're involving all the helicopters.
Now we're coming into Air Assault.
Air Assault, the staple of the 101st Airborne Division. Now, sir, I see you have Air Assault wings on your chest.
That is correct, Joe.
What does it mean for you to have those Air Assault wings on your chest?
Well, it means I'm a part of the most storied division in the United States Army history. I would also argue it's a point of pride for me because I went through at 44 years old.
Wow.
So, yeah, but when I came here, I was basically told, hey, you're going to Air Assault School. It was a task that I readily accepted. And, coming out of the special operations community,
having the opportunity to go to air assault school with all the privates and
right.
all the sergeants
right.
going through, it was phenomenal. It was absolutely a key piece of kind of integrating back into the way that the Army does things. And I only say that because I was at SOCOM before for a couple of years and I was working a joint job. And this was like re-greening, and it was perfect. I mean, right in the same formation, right in the same squad, with probably about 10 privates, a couple of sergeants, and one lieutenant.
Yeah.
So that's phenomenal.
Absolutely. And First Sergeant Carter, you know, at air assault missions, okay, is the conventional way that the 101st, conducts its battlefield engagements, okay? You being on those air assault missions, how effective for you personally was it, for you and your soldiers?
It was very effective. I mean, you can look at it two ways. It's probably one of the fastest ways you can resupply the troops that are out in the field.
Right.
Instead of putting a convoy together, then rolling out, now you have more soldiers in danger. It was a more effective way, a smarter way. We used to roll those right off Bob Wilson daily to help resupply the brigade.
Bob Wilson was the main hub for the Mighty Strike Brigade during the 2010-11 deployment to southern Afghanistan, Kandahar.
Yeah, Roger that.
And you guys, okay, making it happen, with your air assault missions and utilizing your air assault capabilities, was that the difference maker for you guys in Kandahar?
It was a huge difference. We got called on a lot to do a lot of things, so we got tasked. We drove on with it. We had our team together, and any time it was ready.
Absolutely.
Chopper flying, we'd hook up, and they'd roll out and troops in the battlefield got their supplies that they needed.
Right. And the air assault school at Fort Campbell is the Sabalowski Air Assault School, which I believe was a former Strike soldier. Okay. And that says a lot. You know, if you notice on post, there are a lot of buildings and areas dedicated to fallen Strike heroes. So, yeah, and Sabalowski. Yeah, absolutely. Now, making that transition from the 70s into the air assault, what it is today, you know, during the 80s, Strike was again at the forefront of what was a peacetime, you know. But in 1978, I believe it was Jimmy Carter overseeing the signing of the Camp David Accords, which brought peace to Egypt and Israel, okay, which was fighting for, 40 years, right? I mean, These are two nations that were just going at it, and the U.S. A multinational task force actually came in and said enough is enough, and who was selected to be that one to stand in between to make sure that the fighting ended?
Strike.
It's the Strike Brigade. Unbelievable. and they did an amazing job of maintaining the peace over there and taking a hot conflict and calming it down. There was always danger. Okay, when deployed, when you are a military force, and a tragedy occurred on December 12th, 1985, and that was the Gander crash, where 248 Screaming Eagle soldiers were killed.
This year is the 12th anniversary, I believe.
You guys are holding an event. Every year you guys hold an event.
Roger, we're doing it this year, of course, just like always, going up to Hopkinsville at the memorial they have there and then also having 104 Campbell.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
To attend these events, okay, to get all the information, make sure you go to the Strike Brigade Facebook page. Okay, this is your hub of Strike information. Captain McQuiggan, you are a fan of the Strike Facebook page, I'm sure, right?
I am. I check it every day. Pops up my news feed, Joe.
News feed. That's what I'll talk about. It's social media. This is the most effective way to get immediate release of information out to the populace today. You know, as we discussed, today is a smartphone in hand type of world, and not for nothing, Strike is on the forefront, as most of the 101st units are, with their Facebook page, with their Twitter. That's at Strike BCT. Correct, sir?
Correct.
Okay, and then you could check out all of the great videos. I mean, you want to talk history? Strike put together this great video piece. Okay, it's about 2 hours long of the history of Strike. Okay, and what we're talking about all here, you can see all the film and all the footage and all the still photography and all the quotes and all the stories from that time era. So you go on the Strike Tube page. Okay, you go to YouTube, you type in Strike BCT. That's one word, and bada bing, bada boom, it pops up. All right. But speaking of popping up, commercial break just popped up. Okay, so we got to go take a commercial break. But when we get back, we're going to get into now Strike being the unit chosen to go deepest and farthest into Iraq during Operation Desert Storm. You know, I made the mistake one time where I spelt desert with two S's, and automatic fail. Automatic fail. But that was good stuff there, sir. Sir, that was about the time when you joined, correct?
In 93, that's correct.
We're going to get into the mindset of what was going on during Operation Desert Storm and the Strike Brigade. And hey, don't go nowhere, okay? It's Rendezvous Radio right here on WJZM 1400 AM and 105.1 FM WVRY. Absolutely.
It's like holding on to a glass of water. The weight of the glass doesn't change, but the longer you hold on to it, the heavier it gets.
Nearly 4 million people every year are affected by domestic violence. Help provide strength to both the men and women who don't have it. No more silence. Help paint Fort Campbell purple and support National Domestic Violence Awareness Month.
Up in the morning, now the rag.
I'm PSC Dave I. Yates with headquarters and headquarters company, 3rd Brigade Combat Team Rock Sons, and you're listening to Rendezvous Radio.
I'm Private Brittany Redmond with Headquarters Company, 3rd Brigade Combat Team, Rock Signs, and you're listening to Rendezvous Radio.
I'm Private First Class Randifer with HAC 3rd Brigade Combat Team Rocket Signs, and you're listening to Rendezvous Radio.
I'm Stabbing Solomon Will Atkins here with HAC 3rd Brigade Combat Team, the Rocket Sign, and you're listening to Rendezvous Radio.
Yeah, you heard them. That's the 3rd Brigade checking in. That's also known as the Rocket Signs, who have a lot of history with the Strike Brigade, actually, okay? Where we left off was, the Mighty Strike Brigade, the 502nd now Infantry Regiment, okay? Leading the charge into Iraq during Operation Desert Storm. Well, first, Operation Desert Shield being all moved into Saudi Arabia, okay? And we all remember this. This was like the big first CNN war, I believe is what it was called, right? I mean, everything was televised. This was now war in your living room on a nightly basis, and if you were paying attention, you were seeing a lot of helmets with the hearts on it. Okay, and what that is all about here at the 101st Airborne Division. Okay, the units have insignias. Okay, and they are now attached and sewn onto their Kevlar, also known as their ACH, their Army Combat Helmet. Okay, and what that is to not only just signify what unit you represent, but also to pay homage to those great veterans that we were talking about earlier. Okay, because when they were jumping into Normandy, okay, back on June 6th, 1944, okay, they had all put markings on their helmet, the playing card insignias, okay, and that each unit put their own specific playing card insignia on it. So when they all landed, okay, they were able to get all together just by looking at each other's helmet, what a great, proud thing to continue. I mean, that is awesome. That is awesome. And the Strike Brigade obviously wears the hearts. You got the First Sergeant, 1st Brigade wears the club.
Roger.
Second, the heart.
Heart.
Okay. Third wears a Tory. 3rd Brigade, the 187th Infantry Regiment, was not a part of the original 101st, but I don't want to say adopted into the 101st, but joined the 101st later on. But 4th Brigade, the Spade.
Right.
And then the supporting units such as the 101st Sustainment Brigade, they wear the all insignias on their patch. There it is. Yep, Master Sergeant Pete Mays, one of the creators of making this Rendezvous Radio happen. He has been battle tested and deployed with the 101st Sustainment Brigade, and just came in and showed the patch. Yeah, absolutely, bada big. Now, with that Desert Storm,
sorry. Strike continued to go forward with the 101st Airborne Division through Operation Desert Shield and Desert Storm.
Right.
Actually participated in as a part of the spearhead into Iraq, and part of one of the largest combat air assault operations ever conducted, actually.
Now Captain McQuiggan, you are an experienced man, okay? But you have some youth. You have some youth in you. Okay.
Right.
How old were you when Desert Storm was going off, and what was in your brain? Did you have any idea what the 101st was at the time? Did you know anything about Strike at the time, or?
No, Joe. I was about 9 years old at the time.
Right.
And I mean, I was tracking Desert Storm because I had a couple uncles that were served in the Navy and the Marines and in the Army, actually. the mom's side, that were over in Desert Storm, so I was aware of the war. I knew kind of what was going on.
Right.
Following it, knowing having family over there, but not, I mean, just, you know, the stories of the 101st, yes, but what they were actually doing at that time.
Right.
You
know. Yeah, me neither. Yeah. You know, just like you, I was in class when they rolled the TV in. You know, that's when TVs weren't flat, okay? Mm-hmm. TVs had that, like, I don't want to call it a big butt, but, you know, the TVs had some thickness to it. So they'd roll in the TV and they put on CNN, and you'd be...
Well played, Joe.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, sir. And, yeah, I got to tell you, we got to watch the war on the TV.
When I was 9, Joe, the biggest thing in my life at that time was my Little League baseball game.
Yeah. Oh,
or the
right.
Next game, or the Red Sox, in that matter. It was kind of my focus.
That's right. Let's
Everything
go Mets.
Else is aside, to include school. Not good, but yes.
And slap bracelets. Remember those things? Yeah, slap bracelets were big, too, that year. All right, but with that, okay, Desert Storm passes. Now, and the Mighty Strike Brigade, they help establish FOB Cobra, and what was the other FOB, sir? Was that...
One second.
Yeah, FOB Cobra, and I'm sorry, I don't have my facts with me offhand. Very unprofessional.
I know for Cobra, I can't think of the other one off the top.
But with that...
Viper, I'm sorry.
Bada
Viper.
Bing. That's what I'm talking about, sir. Ding, ding, ding. Ding, ding, ding. Here, you get to win Austin Peay tickets. Awesome. Now, sir, during the mid-90s, okay, now Strike was sent to provide relief in Nicaragua, okay? Nicaragua, Panama, during a huge hurricane hit, and they sent Strike into it to help with the relief. Once again, you know, supposedly peacetime, but still deploying. Still deploying. I mean, what does that mean to deploy to a non-combat zone?
Well, that's a great question, Joe. What I would argue is when you look at a mission like that, I mean, you got to understand our soldiers are trained predominantly to go fight and win, you know, the nation's battle.
Right.
So in order to kind of switch them into another gear to more of a stability type operation or an operation that is more about disaster relief, it speaks highly of the unit and the unit's capabilities, because now you're not telling them, hey, you're going there to shoot, kill, get to your objective,
right,
destroy. Now you're telling them, hey, your job is to preserve life in some cases, preserve law and order in other cases, where you have to be a little bit more discriminate, actually quite a bit more discriminate what you're doing. So what you want is you want the best of your people, and you've got to quickly train them. And it goes back to my common thread here about the agility of our young soldiers dating back to that kind of time. And they were able to kind of turn it off and then turn it on, if you will, to address those kind of contingencies.
Yeah.
But it's absolutely a marvel that people can do that. That you can have a high state of readiness to be very lethal, to destroy things, and then switch over and preserve life and preserve stability.
Absolutely. You know, and that's what a Screaming Eagle soldier is. A someone that is able to, and what do they call that? A force multiplier. Okay, they are able to go into a scenario and not just, like you said, shoot and take away the enemy, but absolutely to embrace the people and build them up again, and that's what I love about it. And speaking of that, that is exactly what the Strike Brigade did in Iraq and Afghanistan. And sitting here with us is First Sergeant Johnny Carter, who has been a part of the Screaming Eagles in Iraq and Afghanistan. And with that, I mean, First Sergeant, tell us about it. Where have you been, and what have you guys done, your unit wise?
Well, I was with initial invasion in Iraq. Then I went back to Iraq in 2005-2007, and then right after that I went to Afghanistan. And
the first one was Strike first deployed to Mosul. Were you with Strike
I was not with them. I was with the 326 Battalion. I was at Mosul.
Mosul. Right,
we pushed forward all the way up there. Yes, roger that.
Yeah, Mosul was the initial point where Strike was sent into take out they successfully took out Uday and Qusay Hussein. Okay,
outside Mosul, by the way.
Man, like. That's pretty impressive.
Yeah.
Who was there to take out the what was their nickname? Remember their nickname? They had a nickname. Something the Sons of not Anarchy. That's a TV show. There was something, a deadly name. But Strike took them out. Strike took them out. Absolutely. Now with that, then you mentioned 0506, 0507 actually, because at this time, okay, tours right now I believe are based on year and 9 months, okay, and but at that time, okay, Strike was doing 15 month rotations, I mean, that is. I mean, Captain McQuiggan, you've been involved in deployments, okay?
Yes.
Now a 15-month deployment. I mean,
it's brutal. It's I did one back in 07, 08 to Iraq. Actually, not part of the 101st, but part of 25th out of Schofield Barracks. We were extended at the time. And ended up doing 15 total months. It's a long time. A lot changes over 15 months when you leave and then come back. But, yes.
Right. And man, unbelievable. 15 months. But they accomplished it. You know, they went down to what was called the Triangle of Death down in... you were there, First Sergeant.
Yes, it was. I believe that was a time frame that 2nd Brigade took the most casualties in the division at that time frame.
Tough place to be.
It was
absolutely
a very tough place to be. Roger that.
Strike was resilient, kept a mission going, and accomplished the mission, and then returned to Iraq in
709.
Yep, and as the lead brigade for General Petraeus over in they were in Northwest Baghdad at the time.
That.
Right, absolutely. All right, but we got to go to break here. But before we do, okay. We need to focus on Strike and what they did in Afghanistan, okay? And Strike was handpicked, okay, to be the lead brigade in 2010-2011 into Kandahar as the lead surge brigade into the south. And that was handpicked by President Barack Obama and at the time, four-star General David Petraeus, okay? And what they did there was again a presidential unit citation awarding actions, okay? And with that, Captain McQuiggan, you were there on the front lines.
I was
during that time, and it was a tough battle, and to be mentioned with names like Normandy, Bastogne, Doctown. I mean, you know.
I was with Top Guns at the time. We moved into the Argendob, Western Argendob there, and got after it right away. And kind of led right before Operation Dragon Strike, I believe, we had to clear the Argendob first. And we got partnered and beefed up with some units, and we led the charge and took a lot of casualties, a lot of injured and wounded. And but fought through, fought hard, and gained some stability and victory. And now I'm tracking the Argendob is a pretty good place, and turned it over. And the Afghans now in the lead down there, running it, securing it, governing it, and the people live peacefully and happily. Since we left, so it's great. It gives you some closure at the end, knowing that it got better,
right?
And it's progressing forward, and that's kind of what you want when you leave.
And that's exactly was the planning. And Operation Dragon Strike, okay, was the major operation that had about 5,000 to 6,000 coalition forces of. Starting from Highway 1, okay, which is in any major war, there's a Highway 1, okay? And Highway 1 is the main highway of your battles, okay?
Was the only highway.
Right, right. And these 5,000 troops just, hand-in-hand with their Afghan National Army counterparts, okay, and their and the Afghan National Police, and just eliminated the Taliban. And did such a fantastic job at it that, Strike was awarded the President's Unit Citation Award. Now, First Sergeant Carter, you, Captain McQuiggan, personally have lost friends and battle buddies during that time, and I'm sorry for your loss, but we will never forget those who made the ultimate sacrifice, not only just for Strike, but for the 101st Airborne Division, and not for nothing for their battle buddy to the left and right of them. And it's a pretty emotional topic, but thank you for that service.
You're welcome.
Absolutely.
Joe, what's great about Strike is, real quick, I know we got to go, is the way we take care of our Gold Star families when we come back.
Right.
What really, I think, separates our brigade amongst the rest and makes us the best brigade is the fact that we don't forget and that we do take time to remember them and take care of them and stay in contact with them and ensure that they are okay. And if they ever need anything, they know they can always come back, call a Strike soldier, or come back to Fort Campbell to the Strike AO, and they know that they will be taken care of. And it really stands out, and it makes you be really proud to be part of the Strike and what we do.
Now, well said, sir. Well said, absolutely. Colonel Cannell, the Strike Brigade has another rendezvous with destiny.
It sure does.
It's got another rendezvous with Destiny. It's going to be similar to the same mission they performed last time, and that's Security Force Assistance and Advisement NRC East in Afghanistan. And that'll occur sometime in after the turn of the year.
Right.
And I want to tell you, we are all looking forward to it. Everybody in the brigade is proud to have been selected by the Army to go ahead and do this mission. I would think personally, I think the Army looked at the great job they did last time they were there and said, hey, we need to bring these guys back again. And I think part of it also goes into the unique skill set of doing advising and assisting host nation counterparts. And I think that they had such great relationships and they did such a good job in terms of building rapport and building Afghan capability that they were kind of, Army said, hey, we need to put these guys back in there again.
Right.
Again, that's my personal opinion. That's kind of what I did as a special forces officer, kind of all over Latin America and Afghanistan. And I would argue that from what I've seen so far, the brigade does it just as good as anybody else, and I think that's why they were picked up to do it again.
Absolutely, sir. And with that comes an extensive amount of training. And you guys just got back with your live fires and your CalFexes, which accompany, you know, a sized training. Now, you guys have a your Joint Readiness Training Center coming up over at Fort Polk, Louisiana.
Yeah, yeah, everybody's real excited about that. I mean, you have to understand that they started off getting ready to train sometime around April after the brigade came back last time. Started off with the individual skills, started off with the specialty skills, and then started working the collective training.
What right.
I mean by that is platoon-level training. Did a phenomenal job during the Eagle Flight 3s, which is our way of doing combined arms live fires. We were able to integrate the aviation pieces. We were able to integrate the artillery. And then from our end and the BSTB, able to integrate the capabilities, so the enablers that everybody needs to put it all together. JRTC would be the equivalent of the AFC championship, if you will, where we're able to go down there and do the final prep and kind of make sure that we're 100% straight in regards to the mission, make sure we have those capabilities, and then turn around and get ready to kind of focus on advise and assist stuff for the Super Bowl, which will be in Afghanistan later on.
That's what I'm talking about. Now hopefully the Giants turn it around and join that Super Bowl.
That's not going to happen.
That's not going to happen. Yeah. But we got to wrap it up here, but we got to take a break. Sir, a word or two before we go. Got Captain McQuiggan.
Thanks to you and John here for allowing us to come in and talk about strike and the families and the soldiers, because that's what's important. And last, I know we have breast cancer awareness month, but I have a mother-in-law fighting breast cancer right now, Nora. Just want to give her a shout out. Thanks. Keep fighting and get well soon.
Prayers and thoughts. Absolutely. Captain Dunn.
Hey, thanks for having me again, Joe. Doing it like five times in a row, being here on the radio about over the past like month or so, missing it 2 weeks in a row. It's been rough. I'm going through withdrawal from being with you guys here. So
let me tell you. It's very addictive telling the soldier story. That is for sure.
It is. It's fun. It's a blast.
It's almost as addictive as Oreos, as we read recently in the news. First Sergeant Carter.
Yes.
Any last minutes before we...
Again, I want to thank you for letting me come on the air, and I also want to remind everybody that this Saturday at 09 on Division Parade Field is the beginning of the Run for the Fallen, so that way we continue to remember...
Yes.
Those who gave up the ultimate sacrifice for our country.
We will never forget, and we will always remember those who made the ultimate sacrifice.
Never will.
Absolutely. Sir...
Can I tell you, Joe, John, thank you very much for having us here. It's been a great experience. I would also tell you I'd like to thank the Clarksville area, Hoptown, all of the surrounding communities. We are able to do what we can do because of your support, and we appreciate it. Finally, Sergeant Scott, thanks for the shout-out from Alabama.
Yes, absolutely. And with that, the highlighted unit today, the Mighty Strike Brigade, thank you all for coming in and telling the strike story. And now when we get back, we're going to have representatives from Operation Friendly Ghost sitting in and giving us the do's and don'ts of this upcoming Halloween. And I got to ask them. I got a few Halloween costume ideas. Maybe they can direct me in the right direction. Yeah, absolutely. But don't go nowhere, all right? It's Rendezvous Radio here on 105.1 FM WVRY and 1400 AM WJZM. Absolutely.
Specialist Michael Roman, 6th Battalion 101 Cab. This is Rendezvous Radio.
My name is Sergeant David Lee Romero. I'm with 6101 GSAP, and you're listening to Rendezvous Radio.
This is Specialist Patrick Walsh, part of 6th Battalion 101st GSAP, and you're listening to Rendezvous Radio.
Yeah, you heard them. Rendezvous Radio. Absolutely. Bam. With the royalty-free music. Yeah, it's Rendezvous Radio right here on 105.1 FM WVRY and 1400 AM WJZM, and yeah, what a great session we just had with the Mighty Strike Brigade, the leaders of the 502nd Infantry Regiment. Awesome, great stuff. They got a chance to tell the history and tell a little bit of their story too, because that's what it's about. It's about relaying the warriors that are human. Okay, these warriors are trained to accomplish the mission on and off the battlefield, but not for nothing. At the end of the day, they go home to a family. Okay, they take off the uniform and they put on whether it's a plaid over a shirt or a hoodie or some sweatpants. The men and women of the 101st Airborne Division Air Assault, the Screaming Eagles, are great people, and that's part of the highlight that we bring to you here at Rendezvous Radio. Speaking of great people, that's a segue. Okay, that was a segue. We got the people of Operation Friendly Ghost sitting in with us at the moment. How's it going, Sergeant? All right?
It's going good.
Introduce yourself, please.
Sergeant Jesse, Fort Campbell Police, working in the traffic section.
Nice. Let me tell you, you're a very busy man, because I see the Fort Campbell Police all over the place.
Oh, yeah.
You guys are, it's a 24/7 type of mission that you guys are always on, and you guys have some very important information today.
We've got some good information put out about the Halloween trick-or-treat holiday, I guess you could say, coming up on the installation.
Which is big. I mean, like, Halloween on post, you got... How many houses, would you say, are on post? I mean, it's thousands.
Thousands. Yeah. Very, very easily in the thousands.
And this is a very safe place to go trick-or-treating?
Yes, as long as everyone is aware of their surroundings.
Yes.
And pays attention.
Nice. And with that, what does that come?
The major issue we have, you've got a lot of younger children walking through the neighborhoods. We also have vehicles moving through the neighborhoods. Normal... working people, the soldiers of the community that are going to work, coming back from work, that are trying to get home, driving on the roadways, that the trick-or-treaters are moving along. So as long as the parents are kind of aware that there are vehicles moving through the area that are trying to get home and watch their kids, make sure they're not going out in the road by themselves.
Right.
It kind of increases the safety awareness and makes everything a little bit safer.
Now, with that, okay, what is the most ridiculous costume you have seen yet?
Oh, I think the most ridiculous costume I've seen is a guy dressing up as Lady Gaga.
Okay, a guy as Lady Gaga. Okay, so Mr. Gaga.
Mr. Gaga.
Mr. Gaga was the worst. Now, but with your huge volumes of people walking around Fort Campbell during the holiday, which Halloween is right on the corner.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, it's next week. If you haven't got your candy yet, okay, you better hurry up. Because not for nothing, the day before, the prices get a little jacked up, all right? But I don't know nothing, okay? But, are you guys prepared to handle such volume on the streets of Fort Campbell?
Yes, we are fully prepared. We have set up TCPs, traffic control points, controlling the traffic movement.
Great job of filling in that acronym. That was pretty good.
Helping the vehicles get through the neighborhood safely, also helping younger children and their families cross the intersection safely. We have a lot of those set up through all the neighborhoods on the installation. We also provide Kim lights to the families,
right,
for the children to either wear, carry, however the parent sees fit, so that they can be more visible.
Visibility.
Visibility is the main thing.
Yeah, and not for nothing, being able to be seen and seeing, okay? I mean, you're going to be wearing costumes and everything. Make sure that that you're able to see out of it. Remember back in the day, that plastic, Superman face mask, okay, with the eye slits that were, very tough to see? Yeah. I advise you to cut the eyes a little bit bigger.
Okay? Possibly.
Yeah. Who'd you bring in with you today, Sergeant?
This is actually my boss.
Hey, boss, how you doing, all right?
Good, how are you?
Good to see you, Sergeant. Please introduce yourself.
Steph Sergeant Provat. I'm in charge of the traffic accident investigation section on Fort Campbell.
So, you've been very busy as of late?
Yeah.
Fill us in. What is on post? What is the number one reason for bumper-to-bumper fender benders, or?
I'd say people not paying attention.
Not being paying
on their
attention.
Phones.
On the phone.
Yeah.
Big problem today, okay? And not just on post, but off. Okay?
Oh, yeah.
Like people are addicted to the texting, okay? Now, I mean, when there's a situation on post that happens, okay, a collision, all right? And what is your procedure?
respond to the traffic accident.
Right, right, right.
Make sure there's no injuries, or if there are injuries, that they are taken care of.
Uh-huh.
And then just traffic control, traffic scene safety.
Right.
For the responders on the scene and the people there.
Absolutely. I've seen it before, okay, where there was accidents that happened, okay, and then people not even paying attention to the accident that just happened, creating more accidents around it.
Oh, yeah.
Pay attention.
We've had people just drive by our patrol cars that are blocking off the road. They just drive right around.
Just driving. Texting.
Yeah.
Just driving by texting.
Yep.
Man, don't text, people. If you're driving, okay, get the controls on your steering wheel or something where you go, how you doing? Send. Right. Absolutely. But what do you guys got planned coming up? Events or some type of...
Well, the next big one after this is the UFC fight on Post.
Yes, the UFC fight. Oh, in case you don't know about this, this is Fort Campbell's going to be the place to be if you are all about MMA and UFC. So, and with that, I mean, you know, what are some of the tips that you would recommend? I mean, there's always the option for carpooling, which nobody takes, which we really got to fix that problem.
The main issue we have, the UFC fight we have is on the 6th. Of November.
Right.
It's open to military ID card holders and their family members that are 18 or older. There's no alcohol at the event.
Uh-huh.
No bags.
Purses are allowed. Cameras are allowed as long as they don't have a detachable lens. Mainly the safety aspect. Carpooling would be great.
Yeah. Where is it at? It's going to be at the...
It's at the Sabre Airfield.
Right, right, right.
They're opening up one of the hangars there to accommodate UFC and the event. Main thing is the carpooling and just being patient.
Yeah.
You've got a lot of people coming into the area. I think we're estimating around 4,500 to 5,000 people.
Get there early.
Yeah.
Get there early. Hurry. So,
patience is the
main. That is huge. You guys, that's a very impressive number. Okay. And I want to say I feel bad for you guys on that day, but I really believe that you guys got it handled. Your team-wise, how big are you guys?
We're a section of...
12.
Yeah.
So 12, but there'll be more that day, correct?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, okay,
we've probably
good.
Got 40 to 50.
Okay, good.
The traffic section.
Good.
So there's more than that out there.
And don't get short with these people. These people are here to provide and make sure that that your enjoyment is a safe enjoyment, okay? You guys get, like, attitude stuff? I mean, like, yeah?
All the time.
Why? Why? Do you guys deserve the attitude? No.
Depends. Sometimes, yeah. sometimes a little bit. But during these events, the big events that we have with a lot of people,
right.
Our main concern is getting the area cleared out as quickly and as safely as possible.
Right, right, right.
And we have people that stop and try to argue as far as where we're directing them to go.
Right.
It just causes a lot of backup, and it causes a lot more waiting time for the other patrons that are there. So if everybody just kind of plays along and follows the directions that are given, it makes things run a lot smoother, and we have less chance for an accident to occur.
Absolutely, absolutely. It's all about safety, okay? We really just want to make sure that when you are moving from unit to unit, to your location to location on Fort Campbell, that you take your time, all right, and not cause problems. Because not for nothing, okay, the 101st Airborne Division and the supporting units and all the units of Fort Campbell, you guys and gals are one of the most deployed and decorated units out there, okay? You have a high risk of injury while fighting overseas. No need to have a high risk of injury here at home, okay? So please, take these advice. Now, all this, you guys have a Facebook page, an information page?
Yes.
What do you guys have?
We have the Fort Campbell... Director of Emergency Services has their Facebook page that puts out the information as far as some of the events that are going on, the installation.
What's the URL for that? If you go to Facebook, you go in the search box, what do you type in?
Yeah, you could probably type in DES,
Military Police.
There you go, DES Military Police. Okay, we'll make sure that all that information gets put out to you guys, because you guys do have a plethora of information that is very important to the mission, okay? We got to go to a break here, but when we get back, okay, we're going to be, what should I call you guys? Are you guys like the Fort Campbell cops?
Yeah.
Yeah, sure.
That yeah, works. We're hanging out here with the Fort Campbell cops, but when we get back, okay, we're going to be introducing a man who represents a lot of people on post, okay? A man that represents the single soldiers of Fort Campbell, okay? And let me tell you, this BOSS program, the Better Opportunities for Single Soldiers, is a garrison-ran organization that provides opportunities and things to do, for the single soldiers. And with that, also lessons and information to improve their lifestyle and livelihood. And we're going to get into all that in just a moment. But, yeah, hey, don't go nowhere. It's Joe Padula, host of Rendezvous Radio, 105.1 FM, WVRY, and 1400 AM, WJZM. Absolutely.
WVRY, 105.1 FM, Clarksville, Waverly, WJZM, 1400 AM, Clarksville, Tennessee.
This is Captain Tony Bowers of the 561st Military Police Company. You're listening to Rendezvous Radio. Yeah!
Sergeant Brandon Core, 561st MP Company, 716th MP Battalion. We're listening to Rendezvous Radio Champions.
My name is Zachary Clouser, 561st Military Police Company, Rendezvous Radio.
Yeah! The MP's checking in on the Rendezvous Radio shout-outs. You guys recognize some of those names?
Oh, yeah. Captain Bauer, very recognizable.
Man, that's awesome. So, once again, the 716th Military Police Battalion. And, you guys are making it happen out there. And we appreciate that. We appreciate you guys looking out for the concern of the patrons of Fort Campbell. Okay? And we see you guys everywhere now. You guys involved with the BOSS program at all? You guys do anything with BOSS?
We partner up with MWR and BOSS to help with their events, and we kind of work hand in hand.
Yeah.
Ensure that everything operates a little bit smooth.
Because Fort Campbell is pretty well known, and it's pretty well known also for its BOSS program, okay? Because it's a very effective program. The BOSS, Better Opportunity for Single Soldiers, all right, provides an avenue, an outlet, and guidance for today's single soldiers within Fort Campbell. And yes, sitting in studio, introduce yourself. How you doing, all right?
Hey, Joe, how you doing?
What a day.
Right?
Absolutely.
I'm the Fort Campbell BOSS Vice President, Specialist Charles.
Right.
And Josh, either one.
Absolutely.
I'm not in uniform, so.
Yeah, well, today's a danza for some people, and we appreciate those who were off today. You know, a lot of members of the Strike Brigade were off today, and they were able to still come in and tell the story. So we appreciate that, and danza stands for a day of...
Non-scheduled activity.
Non-scheduled activity. Army loves their acronyms. Man. Surprised they don't have an acronym for the word acronym. You know what I mean? Not yet. We'll make one up. But I'll tell you what. You know, Specialist Charles, your BOSS program. Okay. What is your mission in BOSS?
Our mission is to support the overall quality of life for single and unaccompanied soldiers.
Right.
So we take care of your GO bachelors, which is married people with their spouses away from the base.
Right.
Our single soldiers and single parents. Make sure that their living conditions, their quality of life is up to standard to what it should be.
Absolutely. And you guys hold meetings on a monthly level, okay? Even more so, actually, because you guys hold events. Because and these meetings, okay, is invited to all of the single soldiers that are within Fort Campbell, whether it's by marital status or a geological location. And you guys come in and you talk about some of the issues and some of the situations. And I've sat in a few of your meetings, and what I love about it is there are problems that are brought up and there are solutions that are brought up with those problems. Effective, my friend.
The benefit that we have is that we do have the Garrison Sergeant Major in our chain of command.
Right.
So he is our senior enlisted advisor.
It's a good guy to have on your side.
With him, any situation that's hard to take care of at the unit level,
right,
we go with him, and, from top, everything's fixed from top.
Right. Now, who is your Garrison Command Sergeant Major?
Our Garrison Command Sergeant Major is Command Sergeant Major Bauer.
Big shout out to CSM Bauer, a great guy who helps make it happen, not only just for the soldiers, but specifically the single soldiers of Fort Campbell. Now, some of your events, you guys hold events to get the guys and girls out of the barracks.
Yes.
What were some of your events that you guys have held recently in the past?
We've gone to Atlanta, St. Louis, Cincinnati, Indianapolis.
And what are you guys doing out there?
We'll go out and watch sports events.
Yeah.
Out there, like Atlanta and St. Louis, Six Flags. We'll take them out for the weekend at a very, very low cost.
I mean, you'll never see a soldier pay more than like $50 for a weekend.
For a weekend.
And that includes transportation,
right.
Lodging, and
right.
To the event. So, I mean, we try to take care of single soldiers. We try to get them out of the barracks so that they have other things to do besides just sit in the rooms.
Right. And not for nothing. And I'm glad our friends from the 7th to 16th are sitting here, too. Okay. When boredom happens... Okay, sitting around in the barracks. Okay, that's when you know things can happen. Okay, and what you guys are providing are a place for people to go, an effective, productive place for people to go, where trouble is really not designed to be. And you guys do a fantastic job of it. I mean, the turnout for your events, you guys are always full.
Yes,
always full. I mean, it's a and where can people see some of your stuff? What are your pages?
We have our Facebook page.
Okay,
which it's. Facebook.com/ Fort Campbell Balls.
Right.
And you can check all our information there. We have pictures from all of our events, and the most recent, which was our first annual Fort Campbell Boss Day.
Boss Day?
Yes.
Oh, nice. Like a boss.
Yeah, like a boss.
Like a boss. Nice. What'd you guys do on Like a Boss?
We held a space tournament. We had a DJ. We had food. We had pool tournaments. We just had the day. Basically, it was a... what's the word I'm looking for?
Sounds like a party.
It's a unit function, basically,
right.
For all the single soldiers. And we had a great turnout. We had more than 300 people show up.
That's what I'm talking about.
So.
And that's not 300 people from one unit. And this is another thing that I love about you guys. You guys bring unit cohesion within the entire 101st Airborne Division and Fort Campbell. Because you guys have 3rd Brigade soldiers hanging out with Strike Brigade soldiers, okay? You know, you got the men and women of Currahee and Bastogne and all of the supporting units that make up the 101st Airborne Division. Coming together on the one roof to say, hey, how you doing?
And it's not just the 101st, too. We also cater to the reserve units on post.
Oh, awesome.
So the Tennessee National Guard and
right.
The Kentucky National Guard, they all fall in under BOSS as well.
That is so great.
Just like any other military. The Air Force unit that's stationed at Fort Campbell,
right.
They qualify, too.
Absolutely.
So we try to take care of everyone, no matter what military branch they are in.
That's what I'm talking about. All right, we got to go to a break here, but when we get back, okay, we're gonna make sure that I got a lot of questions about upcoming events, okay, and then to go with that, the 7th-16th, I got a couple questions on your guys' involvement and some more Halloween questions, if you don't mind, since it's right around the corner, okay, maybe some more tips, and I'm gonna give a scenario, maybe you can give me the answer, okay? I may be the wrong, and you guys be the right. All right.
All right.
So hey, don't go nowhere. We're hanging out with the soldiers of the 101st Airborne Division Air Assault. Fort Campbell and the reservists and the National Guard of the local region. And you're listening to Rendezvous Radio right here on WJZM 1400 AM and 105.1 FM WVRY. Absolutely.
I'm Specialist Hobson with 3rd Battalion 159 Cab Attack, and you're listening to Rendezvous Radio.
I'm PFC Taylor with 4th Battalion 159th Cab Wings, and you're listening to Rendezvous Radio.
I'm Specialist Blackman with 563rd 159 Cab Fighting, and you're listening to Rendezvous Radio.
Yeah, welcome back. Rendezvous Radio. You heard it. That was from our one of the 101st Combat Aviation Brigades, the 159th, okay? Also known as the 159th, okay? And however you want to spell those and pronounce those three numbers right there. But yeah, welcome back. Hanging out on the panel right now is representatives from the garrison side of Fort Campbell, okay? We got the 716th Military Police Battalion being represented by Staff Sergeant. How do you pronounce your last name?
Pravat.
Pravat. I like it. Pravat. Absolutely. And then, of course, we all know Sergeant Jesse. Familiar voice now. All right. Good to see you again.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And then from representing the Fort Campbell Boss. Yeah. Specialist Charles. How you doing? All right?
Pretty good. Pretty good.
Yeah, let me tell you. It's always a pleasure to see you. Cause
it's been a while.
It's been too long, okay? It's been too long. But every time I get a chance to see you, that means there was something going on, okay?
Yes.
And you guys got something going on coming up here with the BOSS program?
Yes, we do. Tomorrow night, we're special invites to the Zone's Halloween party.
Yes.
Actually, no, it's tonight.
What's your costume?
I don't know if I'm at liberty to say.
Miley Ray Cyrus?
No. It's going to be...
Is it the Fox? What does the Fox say? That's the new number one social cultural costume.
No. It's more
what
of a...
What does the Fox say?
It's
I don't know that you say it on the radio.
Okay, they don't. They don't.
I don't know if I can.
I agree. But that's tonight at the Zone.
Yes. Okay. Doors open at 9. First 30 people get $10 vouchers.
Nice.
And it's going to go from 9 to 1 o'clock in the morning.
That's what I'm talking about. And what time does it... What time do you guys... you guys have something also this weekend? Is that accurate?
Yes. I gotta go through my calendar.
Okay, no, understood. But all your information's on that Facebook page.
What we got going on this weekend, let me see. We got the Zone tonight.
Right.
And then tomorrow night we're teaming up with the W Rec Center.
Yes, right.
For their Halloween carnival.
Nice.
Which should be fun. And then we'll be going out to the city of Oak Grove and helping them out with their haunted house.
That's awesome. And that part of the job, okay, the community outreach part, where you guys, because you guys do a lot of volunteer work.
Yes, we do.
Okay, and that is so important and vital to what you guys have with that good relationship with the surrounding communities. What does that mean to you, volunteering?
Oh, it means being able to give back to the community without asking for anything in return.
Right.
I grew up around volunteering. I focus specifically on volunteering for Balls, so I'm the one that coordinates all the volunteer events.
Awesome.
And to me, it's just what better way to give back. Hopkinsville, Clarksville, Oak Grove, they support Fort Campbell to the fullest.
Right.
And
including Woodlawn, too. Yeah.
Yes. And what better way to give back than by volunteering and helping them out?
Bada bing. Bada bang. That's what I'm talking about. Now, the 716th, the Military Police Battalion, okay? You guys are a nonstop profession, okay? 24/7. There's always somebody on patrol in Fort Campbell, making sure that the safety standards are not only enforced, but projected and recommended out, okay? And we got all the information to your Facebook page and all the stuff that's going on now. Now, with that, I mean, Halloween, right around the corner. Okay, the Zone's having their party. DW Rec's having their party. Okay, Oak Grove having their bash. All right. Some more advice. Okay, and relate it personally if you can. Okay, what are some scenarios that you've personally seen during these holidays? You know, where people forget that hey, safety.
Main thing. We've got a lot of during the Halloween is a lot of people traveling in their vehicles
right.
with their children. Between house to house or neighborhood to neighborhood. The main thing is all children need to be seat-belted in the vehicle.
Right.
They can't be riding in the back of a pickup truck. You can't have your SUV tailgate up and they're just sitting in the back. It's just a very unsafe environment that you're putting your children in if you're doing that.
Right. Holiday doesn't mean you can break the law.
No.
Right. Right. Absolutely not. And you know what? I've seen that too. I've seen that. Where you go, oh, I'm just going down the block. Listen, I know you're just going down the block, but it's the law.
The law is the law.
Absolutely.
I think, too, along with parents watching their children, drivers need to be aware of their surroundings as well. We'll be patrolling the neighborhoods as well as walking patrols in the neighborhoods, but something I seen last year on a regular basis was children just running out in the streets.
Right.
Like, not looking either way before they go.
This is not the time for PT, people.
No.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Take it easy. Caution. Same thing with the cars. I've seen a lot of decorated cars, okay? Make sure you're still able to drive the thing, all right? I saw the one mummy car, all right? I don't think it was too legal. But we're coming up to a quarter to the hour. And upcoming next, and I'm sure you guys know, have you guys ever read the Fort Campbell Courier?
Yes.
I love that paper. Love Fort Campbell Courier, also known as the FCC. That's right. They regulate what goes on the airwaves and write a paper. They're fantastic.
Done a couple articles in there before.
Yeah, and we're going to be having the part of the team of the Fort Campbell Courier to come in and describe what's in the paper for this week. Because every Thursday, okay, every Thursday afternoon after 5 p.m., I believe it is, you could pick up your Fort Campbell Courier all around Post, all around the surrounding communities. They're in these big green boxes, and they have nothing but great stories written by the soldier and the civilian service member alike, and not for nothing, they do a fantastic job. They're an award-winning paper, and we're going to get into it. But I got to tell you, you know, the 716th Military Police Battalion. Thank you for coming in here and giving us like not just dullness. Okay, you provided pretty good and vital information that is has a lot of substance, and people really need to take that into consideration and when they celebrate this year's Halloween.
Yeah, thanks for having us. One thing, the timeline for the Halloween trick-or-treat event begins at 1800 and will end at 2000. It's a two-hour block.
It's plenty of time to get through majority of the neighborhoods on the installation. We try to end it right around the darkness hour so that children aren't out when it's really dark. So
right.
It's a little bit better. Gives them a better chance of being visible.
Absolutely.
So it increases the safety.
Bada bing. Bada bing.
And just warm.
Yes, just warm. Let me tell you, it was cold this morning. Forget about it. You know what I mean? And, of course, Specialist Charles, always a pleasure. And we look forward to your return here to update us on events and everything that's going on with Fort Campbell Boris. And you get the last word.
Well, I'm going to take this opportunity to ask for anyone that's listening on the radio for volunteers. We're going to be helping the MPs patrol that night.
Awesome. And,
the more volunteers we can get, the greater it is. So, I mean, we're teaming up. It's more safety, more eyes on the streets.
Yeah. That's what I'm talking about. And, man, like you ain't kidding about the volunteer.
I'm really not kidding.
Like, that is great. To find out more and to provide your volunteership, is that accurate? Here in the volunteer state of Tennessee, bordering Fort Campbell, Kentucky, you go to your Facebook page?
Yes.
Go to the Boss Facebook page.
You can go to the Boss Facebook page, or you can go to the DW Rec Center and sign up at the front desk.
Awesome. Or you can call in here, 931-645-6414. All right, we'll make sure that you guys get whatever we can do to help out. But, team, thank you again for being a part of this informative panel representing the garrison side of Fort Campbell.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks. Oh, forget about it. And, hey, don't forget about us because we're going to take a break here, but we're going to get back Fort Campbell Courier, the FCC, right here in the studio telling about the stories of the mighty 101st Airborne Division and Fort Campbell Garrison right here on Rendezvous Radio, 105.1 FM, WVRY, and 1400 AM. WJZM. Absolutely. Welcome back. Rendezvous Radio. It's where you, the listening audience, gets your information about what's going on post over at Fort Campbell. And
sir.
Yeah. And now sitting in studio with us, okay, is the people that are responsible for taking that story, that message, and putting it into a print form, and also the interwebs. Yeah, that's the Fort Campbell Courier.
It's an award-winning newspaper, Joe. It's
award-winning.
Fort Campbell's the voice of the eagle, right there.
Now,
I know we've got a voice of the eagle,
right?
You know, the guy who sits up there and
right.
Stuff, but
you guys are the. I mean, you guys really do. Make it happen. I got the paper right here.
Good.
And thank you for what you guys do, because as we know, you know, telling the soldier story. I mean. Now, Rick, you are a former soldier yourself.
Yes, Bastogne Brigade.
The Bastogne.
The mighty.
The mighty Bastogne Brigade,
yeah.
Our brothers and sisters from 1st BCT. And,
yeah.
I mean, again, another historic unit.
Yeah,
and
327.
And you yourself, I mean, you've been on and off the battlefield telling the soldier story.
Yeah, since I joined the Army in 2004 and deployed to Iraq twice and deployed to Afghanistan as a civilian once and... Been doing it ever since, Joe.
How important is it for you to, and we'll get into the stories real quick here, but how important is it for you to maintain that connection, okay?
It's always going to be there, and, you know, no matter what I do in life, and I hope no matter what some of these soldiers do in life, I hope they always maintain a connection to Fort Campbell and the 101st.
Right.
Whether it's through, like, the association, which is an amazing organization.
Oh, absolutely.
Life member right here.
Oh, we're going to be having them come in here shortly, eventually, and telling their story and getting that word out. Because there you go, that connection, it will always be done.
You have to have it.
Absolutely.
You have to have it. Soldier for life.
And you can maintain that connection by listening to Rendezvous Radio every Friday right here on WJZM and 105.1 FM from 1 to 3 p.m. Central Standard Time. Who'd you bring in with you?
I brought in the... Miss Heather Clark.
Yes.
Writer extraordinaire, FCC.
Absolutely. Absolutely. How you doing? All right?
Fantabulous. What's up?
Now, let me tell you, I love reading your stories, okay? Because you put a... You shed light on some of the great things that goes on base. Now, what are some of the stories that you highlighted in this week's paper?
Well, actually, I'm here to talk about ghosts.
Ghosts?
Yes.
It's Halloween.
Like real ghosts or...
Real ghosts.
No.
Yeah, a lot of people don't realize that we actually have our own team of paranormal investigators and ghost hunters here. It's the Screaming Eagle Paranormal Society.
Absolutely.
So
I know them personally.
Oh, yeah?
I had them on the Joe Padula show.
Nice.
Okay? And they are fantastic. And you guys did a story on them?
Yeah.
Yeah, I just did.
And you could find out all that information in this week's Fort Campbell Courier.
Absolutely.
Yeah, they're on the front page this week talking about what they do. Basically, they're looking for people, you know, anybody that's got something going on in their house or they know of a place that should get checked out.
Right.
They're saying, you know, call us, email us, you know, we want to go check this out. They're out to prove and to disprove.
That's right. And they're not on a mission to make sure that there are ghosts or make sure, I mean, they are just there to get the facts.
Exactly.
And they are all volunteer. These are soldiers who will volunteer their off time to go do it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a great story. You got to check it out. That's on the cover of the Fort Campbell Courier. And not for nothing, they're strike guys. They are soldiers from the
co-founder of Little.
Oh, that makes sense.
Is the
oh, I love it.
Strike ain't afraid of no ghosts.
Strike ain't afraid of no ghosts.
<Da-da-da-da-da-da>. Now, I'm also looking at another story on the front page of here of the Fort Campbell Courier. And it says, Soldier for Life. And this is by Yvette Smith. Rick, about this story, what's the five dubs? Five dubs on this one.
The five dubs. Sergeant Major Dayton Harrington, Korea veteran, Vietnam veteran, spent 16 years in the 101st Airborne Division, spent 30 years in the Army, joined the Army when he was 16 years old, deployed multiple times, you know, like I said, Vietnam, Korea.
Right.
The guy is... He's still a soldier at heart. He shows up to PT formation every day, or almost every day, as much as he can. Just jumps in any old formation he wants to. And he outruns some of these 18, 19-year-old kids.
I love it.
It's phenomenal. 83 years old.
What a story. Now, if you know Fort Campbell, Week of the Eagles, and if you know the division run, then you know exactly who is being spoken of right now.
Yes.
Because this man is always in the forefront of that run.
Right. He's up there just chugging along, and he's such an inspiration, such a motivator.
Can you get him on the show?
Yes.
Oh, man. Yeah, if you guys can coordinate that.
I will.
You know, Master Sergeant Mays, and I think that'd be a great segment.
Yeah. This guy, he's amazing. He's got so many stories. Some of the stories in this week's Courier, one about a Bengal tiger who grabbed one of his buddies in Vietnam. In the
what?
Jungle. Yeah, grabbed him by the foot, started dragging him away. And they blew this Bengal tiger away with, their M16.
Of course. You know, what are you going to do? Let your battle go away?
Right.
Man, we got to get him in here, get his stories.
Oh.
But you can listen to, you can read some of his stories right in your paper.
Yes, sir.
That's what I'm talking about. That's a Fort Campbell Courier. Now, you guys just don't do straight up stories. You guys also do some of the community events that are going on.
Yeah, we do. We got a lot of stuff going on this week in terms of Halloween activities. Check out our community page for that. We've got the UFC fight coming up on November 6th.
Yes.
So stay tuned for more coverage on that. Tim Kennedy will be fighting. He's a... former active duty Green Beret, now he's a National Guard Green Beret with 19th Group, I believe. But, good interview with him. Michelle Val's writing up that piece for next week. So, stay tuned.
Yeah, stay tuned. And there's...
Red Ribbon Week, too. Let us not forget
it's Red Ribbon Week.
What is Red Ribbon Week?
It's an anti-drug campaign.
Okay.
It started, I think, in like 83 or 85 or something.
It was 85 after a DEA agent.
Right. DEA agent was killed, and it's just a pledge to clean living.
And that can also be found in this week's Fort Campbell Courier.
Yeah, there's actually a commentary by General Stammer.
Awesome.
Yes.
Awesome. The Brigadier Acting Fort Campbell and 101st Commander.
Yeah.
Now, there's an award-winning, I'm predicting a future here.
Already. All right.
I'm soothsaying. There's one article in here that I think might be award-winning.
Okay.
Okay. And it can be found on page 4 Alpha, also known as 4A to the civilians. All right. And it's called Rendezvous Radio.
Yes.
Okay. Written by Master Sergeant Pete Mays.
Oh.
All right. And, let me tell you, it's about the launching episode and what went into getting Rendezvous Radio up and going. And let me tell you, we appreciate the coverage of the story. And sitting now with Mike is once again...
There he is.
Master Sergeant Pete Mays. Master Sergeant, great story. Always a pleasure.
Thank you.
Absolutely. I mean, I like this new addition to the show where we're bringing the Fort Campbell Courier in to highlight the paper. And here's my sound effect for newspaper.
You feel that?
That's a sound effect right there. But, I mean, this paper here, how important is the paper to the Post?
The how important it is to the Post?
Right.
I mean, it's one of the main forms of communication that we have on the Post.
Right.
I mean, without command information, without this newspaper, I mean, it would just... You really couldn't find out a lot of information. I mean, we have a lot of different tools that we use right now. We have a lot of the social media tools. We have a lot of the radio. We have a lot of newspapers. But again, this is the heart and soul of it all right here. You know, we've got an incredible staff at the Fort Campbell Courier. Rick Zepka, Heather Clark is two of the, you know, go-to people there. Always telling the soldier's story. Always letting the community know what's going on. You can't not take... If you take this away, I mean, you know, you lose a very vital piece of information.
Right.
So
right.
It's super crucial that we maintain this.
And it doesn't cost the participant nothing.
It doesn't.
Okay? It's free.
Right.
All right, there's a situation today where, I don't want to say there's a lack of reading, okay? But I believe that reading needs to be promoted a lot more, and reading needs to be, I mean, the registering of information from eyes to brain is so important. And you guys do it in not only an informative way, but you guys make it entertaining as well.
I couldn't agree more, Joe.
Right.
I mean, we live in a society today where everyone's reading these short snippets of information, whether it's on Facebook or text messages or Twitter, 40 characters or less. You know
right.
What I mean? And to actually sit down and have a cup of coffee and read a newspaper, it's just, it's becoming a lost art, but it's so critical.
Now I want a cup of coffee.
I know, me too.
Absolutely.
All right.
But you want any coffee, Pete?
I think I've had way too much already.
That's what I'm talking about. But I got to tell you, today was another great episode here of Rendezvous Radio. And we're off to a great start. Okay.
Excellent.
And it just seems to be growing and building with each episode. Pete, do we have an idea of who's coming on next week? Or
we do, Alex. If I'm recalling correctly, we should have the 101st Sustainment Brigade.
Nice.
My patch will be on here.
The Lifeliners.
So they will be here next week, and they'll we'll go and talk some more about exactly what they're going to talk with us about. But if I want to just add one more thing about Rendezvous Radio. One of the things I thought about this week and what this whole process really means, I can sum it up this way. Real soldiers, real stories.
Right.
This is what this is all about. You know, you tell them the soldier story. You're letting everyone know exactly who we are and what we're all about. More than just a uniform. Human beings behind it.
Yeah.
Again, real soldiers, real stories.
Love it. Yes. With real radio. Forget about it.
Are we keeping
real
it real?
Radio.
Man, keeping it real right here with Rendezvous Radio. Sounds like a rap. Sounds like a rap. But speaking of rap, we got to wrap it up. Oh, segue, bada bing. But again, Pete, thank you again for bringing in the guests of today and making it all happen. You know, such as our Fort Campbell Courier, friends and family members. And thank you for telling the soldier story as we like to do, telling the soldier story here via the radio airwaves.
Yeah, thank you, Joe.
Oh, it's nothing but an honor. And again, this is my form of connection. And you, the listening people out there, this could be your form of connection, the Rendezvous Radio, where you can, in the first hour, you know, be highlighted by one of the units within the base, okay? And then the second hour, where Garrison brings their representation, and we find out what's going on right here at Fort Campbell. And not for nothing, it's very important information, pertinent to the mission overseas and right here at home. Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Bada bing. And with that, we're gonna close out. Don't go nowhere. The Joe Padula Show is coming up next from 3 to 6. But I got to tell you, it's been an honor to help relay the soldier story right here on WJZM 1400 AM and 105.1 WVRY. I'll talk to you later next Friday, 1 to 3. Absolutely.
WVRY 105.1 FM, Clarksville, Waverly, WJZM 1400 AM, Clarksville, Tennessee.